Welcome to The Randy Report. I'm Randy Slavacek, your host. I'm also the writer and editor of therandyreport.com, where you can find me every single day on the internet reporting on the daily news cycle in terms of politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. I'm also proud to share that I've been honored this year by the GLAAD Media Awards with a nomination for Outstanding Blog. In this week's headlines, a controversial new law in Kansas could keep minors from accessing non-explicit LGBTQ websites. The campaign for the re-election of President Joe Biden has launched a strategic initiative reaching out specifically to LGBTQ voters. Heartstopper star Kit Connor will make his Broadway debut this fall. And I recommend a highly acclaimed short film for viewing, as this is National Deaf LGBTQ Awareness Week. All that and more in this episode of The Randy Report. The same day she vetoed a statewide ban on gender-affirming care for trans minors, Kansas Governor Laura Kelly allowed a controversial bill that could block minors from accessing LGBTQ content online to become law. Similar to laws passed in other states like Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Utah, Senate Bill 394 is intended to prevent minors from accessing adult websites. It would require sites featuring content that is, quote, harmful to minors, to verify that visitors in Kansas are 18 or older. Visitors to such sites would have to provide their government-issued IDs. The bill passed in both chambers of the state legislature by huge margins because protecting kids is a good thing, right? But LGBTQ advocates and some Kansas Democrats have warned that the state's legal definition of material that is, quote, harmful to minors means the law could be interpreted broadly to ban young people's access to any LGBTQ content on the web, like the Randy Report. Under existing state law, material that is deemed harmful to minors includes, quote, sexual conduct, which is defined in part as homosexuality. Out Kansas State Rep. Brandon Woodard, a Democrat, argued that under state law, quote, being who we are as LGBTQ people, as homosexuals, is defined as harmful to minors. Another Democratic lawmaker said that Republicans had not considered the unintended consequences of the bill's vague language and asked whether it could be used to prevent minors from a site listing, quote, the top 10 most gay-friendly cities. But some LGBTQ advocates say the new law may not be used to censor non-explicit content. State Rep. Jason Probst, a Democrat who voted for the bill, said in a statement, I don't believe there's a single court in Kansas that would read this bill and the homosexuality statute and say two men holding hands or showing affection is considered pornographic. The language of the statute is narrow enough that I don't think that's possible. In related good news, over in Kentucky, the state Senate and House of Representatives ended their last session without passing any of the 10 proposed bills targeting the queer community. Most would have weakened local non-discrimination ordinances, restricted drag performances, and allowed doctors to deny care to LGBTQ individuals. This means Kentucky joined several other states across the South, including Florida, Georgia, and West Virginia, where nearly every single anti-LGBTQ measure introduced in these state houses this year was defeated. Fortunately, that appears to be the trend this year. More than 550 anti-LGBTQ bills were introduced across the United States in 2023, and 80 were passed into law. In 2024, 484 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced, and so far, just 20 have been passed into law, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. The Biden-Harris campaign has launched a strategic initiative to rally the LGBTQ community in support of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris's re-election in 2024. The new program, called Out for Biden-Harris, highlights the campaign's focus on the LGBTQ community and acknowledges its pivotal role in previous electoral wins. Campaign manager Julie Chavez Rodriguez told The Advocate, quote, LGBTQ voters are a force to be reckoned with. They were critical to our victory in 2020, and they will be critical to winning again this November. According to the campaign, the 2020 election saw the mobilization of nearly 11,000 LGBTQ volunteers who were key in electing Biden and Harris. To harness this robust support base, the Out for Biden-Harris initiative hopes to re-engage these people and further their impactful work by tapping into a diverse array of community messengers, from drag queens and elected officials to LGBTQ faith leaders. The initiative has support from prominent LGBTQ organizations nationwide, with endorsements from groups such as Equality North Carolina PAC, Fair Wisconsin, Delaware Stoneware PAC, and the Center for Black Equity Political Action Fund. These organizations are joining forces with other influential state-level entities like Equality California and Silver State Equality. Last year, the Human Rights Campaign, the National Center for Trans Equality Action Fund, and Equality PAC issued a joint endorsement of the ticket. These organizations boast a collective membership of over 3.8 million. Vice President Harris, who recently celebrated 20 years since first performing same-sex marriages in California, filmed a campaign video highlighting the initiative. In the video, Harris underscores a commitment to unity and coalition building within the LGBTQ movement, expressing a guiding principle of collective action. The video showcases last year's historic Pride Month celebration at the White House and Harris's historic appearance at Capitol Pride in Washington, D.C. It also features key LGBTQ figures within the administration, such as Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg and Assistant Secretary for Health Rachel Levine. The Human Rights Campaign has documented a series of actions by the Biden-Harris administration that affirm its commitment to LGBTQ rights, ranging from reversing Trump-era policies banning transgender service members from the armed forces, signing the Respect for Marriage Act into law, and participating in events that spotlight the fight for LGBTQ equality, such as the Human Rights Campaign's 2023 National Dinner in October, where the President and First Lady Jill Biden were keynote speakers. According to a poll released by the LGBTQ media advocacy group GLAAD, 94% of LGBTQ-registered voters are likely to cast their ballots in November, with nearly 70% supporting Biden. Heartstopper star Kit Connor will make his Broadway debut this fall in Romeo plus Juliet, a modern-day adaptation of Shakespeare's classic story of star-crossed lovers, opposite Rachel Zegler. Sam Gold is directing the production, with music by Jack Antonoff, the Grammy-winning producer best known to Gen Z for working with Taylor Swift. This version of Romeo and Juliet promises to cater to the TikTok generation with the edgy tagline that declares, quote, "The youth are fucked," and a press release that pledges Shakespeare's timeless tragedy now belongs to a new generation on the edge. Kit Connor is best known for Netflix's queer-themed coming-of-age series Heartstopper and also for portraying a young Elton John in the 2019 film Rocketman. The 20-year-old, who came out as bisexual in October 2022, won the inaugural Children's and Family Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Performance for his work on Heartstopper. Rachel Zegler rose to fame as Maria in Steven Spielberg's glorious take on West Side Story, which of course riffs on Romeo and Juliet. She recently starred in the Hunger Games prequel, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. In February 2020, she shared in a tweet that she identifies as pansexual. Needless to say, LGBTQ fans on social media are thrilled at the news that they'll get to see two of their favorite stars on Broadway this fall. This week marks National Deaf LGBTQ Awareness Week, a project launched by the Deaf Queer Resource Center to uplift, support, and bring greater visibility to these marginalized communities. Every day this week, the LGBTQ entertainment site Queerty has been spotlighting a series of acclaimed short films that focus on deaf queer characters, and all of them are available for viewing online for free. One of the films, the 12-minute Ode to Pablo, begins with a familiar scene. A lone young Afro-Latino man, Pablo, is practicing shooting hoops on a basketball court when a group of three young men roll up, seemingly miffed someone's playing on their turf. Heading onto the court, the guys challenge Pablo to a game of pickup. But because he has headphones in, they don't immediately understand Pablo can't hear them and is just reading their lips. It's not until a drive-by shooting incident occurs that the guys begin to catch on. The group's handsome alpha, Julian, is the one to push Pablo out of harm's way. And when the others begin to laugh at Pablo for being deaf, Julian is the one to come to his defense. I won't give away any more, but the short serves as a reminder of the assumptions we make of others in our day-to-day lives, whether someone is gay or straight, whether they're hearing or deaf, whatever that may be. The director of the film also handles the use of sound in the short in a creative manner. When Julian and his friends are talking, we can hear them ever so slightly, as though they're muffled or far away. And the director employs subtitles whenever we're to understand Pablo is reading their lips. Amusingly, the audience is also treated to different subtitles, stylized in blue, to understand Pablo's internal thoughts, which are frequently sassy and funny. I highly recommend checking out Ode to Pablo, which is currently available for free on YouTube. I'll include a link in the show notes. And you can find more short films highlighting the deaf queer community at queerty.com. And that brings me to the end of this episode of The Randy Report. If you enjoy catching up on LGBTQ news in a quick podcast, I'd appreciate it if you'd share it with your friends. I like to think of The Randy Report as the 60 minutes of gay news, only shorter. And remember, you can find me every single day on the internet at therandyreport.com, where I cover the daily news cycle regarding politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.